Welcome back to TechCast, the show that takes all the latest tech news, leaks and rumours from the heart of Ireland, giving it to you. How's things, Stefano?
Good. I got a new microphone. Microphone. Hopefully it's noticeable.
Yeah, hopefully it doesn't sound like crap. So it's been a while and we're going to jump straight into things. The first things first is today, as of recording this, May 9th, iPads now have Final Cut, with an exception. The exception being, one, it's a subscription. Yes, M1 or newer. Like, can you think of any legitimate reason as to why this is the way it is? Other than, of course, Apple likes money, because we all know that.
For the Air or for anything that's not an M1?
Well, we can understand, okay, if it's not an M1, we can kind of say, okay, it doesn't have the processing power, whatever, to do it.
Then it probably is just money, or probably just that they think that anybody that uses Final Cut will want to use it for like proper stuff, and that anybody that wants just basic video editing will use iMovie or Luma.
But then that doesn't make sense, because what? You're just going to accept that the iPad you bought in 2020 can't run Final Cut? There's Macs that ran chips with the A12Z that can use Final Cut.
Well, with the Pros, I think. With
why?
The Pros, I think they should have, even if the RAM was a limitation, on the Pros, they should have at least given it like a limited version of it or something.
Give the 2020 iPad Pros the features. Like, do you remember the first one with the LiDAR sensor?
Yeah, my one.
And the A12Z. Yeah, your one. That had the developer kit for the Macs was an A12Z. And it could run Final Cut no problems.
Yeah, so, I know.
And LumaFusion and DaVinci Resolve works fine on that iPad. Even the 2018.
Yeah, actually. Like, just realizing that now, DaVinci Resolve was on that. Wait, they released the DaVinci for the...
So that was Blackmagic Design. That was separate. But Blackmagic Design released their DaVinci Resolve software, the studio version and the free version. Although there are kind of hacky ways to get the studio version for free, but you just pay the money. I'm very sure if you buy a Blackmagic camera, they'll give you a license for studio on all your devices anyway. So, which is including the iPads one as well. So, if you buy Studio DaVinci Resolve, I kind of assume you've already bought into the ecosystem anyways of cameras.
Yeah.
But that's free. DaVinci Resolve on iPad. That has all the color grading tools. That has everything. And it's not a subscription model. You pay up front.
Yeah, that's the one.
I think that's what we should get into now. We should just get into the heat of the argument. Do you agree?
I'm just wondering why they went... Like, the amount of people that are going to buy... I say that's why, that's probably why the subscriptions. They know not a lot of people are going to buy it on the iPad because they're going to still stick with the Mac. That's probably why they went with subscription.
Now,
to make sure they could keep the
that's all very well and stuff. Do you agree with it? The subscription
like,
model.
It's $50 a year, so it's not insanely expensive.
As someone who's bought Final Cut, bought Final Cut Pro, do you agree that you should have to pay a subscription?
For the iPad. Yeah. I don't know.
Like, if you bought the software already and you've bought a license to use it forever and now you're being charged a subscription.
Yeah, see, I don't know.
Adobe pulled this crap with the Creative Cloud with CS6 when they pulled away from the upfront model when you could get the Master Suite and sort of into the Creative Cloud Suite. Now, I'm stuck in the Adobe Suite now. I can't actually get out of it. But it kind of makes you wonder... Are the Macs next? Because it's very easy to do what Adobe did and just pull a Creative Cloud. Oh, you don't want to pay us as much money as everyone else? That's fine. You're not going to get as many features as everyone else. You might get a basic version of Final Cut that'll never get updated again, but you'll never get the new fancy AI features that Apple implements or whatever, if Apple ever chooses to implement the captions and whatnot. Like, it's just, I don't know, it's kind of, I don't think you should have to pay for it, is what I'm saying. if you've bought a license already on the Mac, you've paid your 300, I think it's for a student 300, well, or like 600 if you're not a student.
No. It's for Final Cut, I bought mine. And it came in the student pack. It came with Logic, yeah. Final Cut, Motion, and Backstage for 200 and something.
Yeah, that it
on
is
on its own. It's 300 and something.
It's $299 for that whole package. Most people with Final Cut bought it through that package, or they know someone who's a student, so they were able to get the package. Mm. But even if you bought Final Cut on its own for 300, let's say in the worst case scenario, you actually bought Final Cut on its own, I do not think you should have to pay extra for the privilege to load it up on your iPad Pro, because you've already bought a license that specifies you'll have it free forever after that.
Yeah, that's where it gets a bit muddy.
You see, it's very difficult to...
See, they might just pull in Adobe justify. And just do that, because again, they are Apple, and it'd be easier for Apple than Adobe to do something like that, because they have the people that will back them up and just do it.
Yeah, but Apple's already struggling here. The Final Cut is already struggling to keep its user base because of all the crap Apple's pulling with not updating the software, with leaving it buggy, with like just not implementing basic features that people have been asking for. Better color grading features, that kind of thing. Like, it's way behind other softwares for editing. Like, compared to Premiere Pro, when I switched, it is a night and day difference what I can do on Premiere versus what you can do in Final Cut, as far as like technical things. Now, I know you can get plugins, but you shouldn't have to get plugins, is what I'm saying, for the basic things. And because Apple's going to a subscription model, it kind of makes me wonder, who's going to pay for it? Like, who's going to pay for Final Cut Pro if you're not going to be, you know, getting the same features as Adobe? If you cannot do the same thing as Adobe, why would you pay?
See, I was thinking in my head, if they do start doing subscription model even for the Mac, is that they would hopefully at least match what Adobe could do. If not,
that can't
do better.
As of right now, they can't.
Yeah, as of now, but if hopefully they would actually put the effort in and start making it better, is what I mean.
I'm hoping
so then
that's
eventually
the case.
It catches up to Adobe and stuff. What exactly in Adobe is better than Final Cut? Like, so when you say the color grading, what do you mean?
Okay, so compared, in my experience, working on professional jobs and on both Final Cut and Premiere, so I have done on both the same jobs, same type of jobs. For one, Final Cut, it's a very basic editing software. Professional, but basic. It's sort of like, if you want to get something done, you don't want anything like in your way, no tabs, there's no real customization in the software. You get whatever Apple gives you. That's what Final Cut is. But with Premiere, I can drag windows everywhere. I can pull out tabs. I can like make custom interfaces for myself to speed up my workflow. With Premiere, there's sort of like basic tools, like being able to add a start and end point to a clip before you even drag it into the timeline. Is that too much to ask for Apple? Or like a media bin that you can actually store it into folders and drag and drop between them and like rename your folders. You know what I'm talking about, the media bin in Premiere. And then with the color grading tools, it has a bunch of preset LUTs, and then it has all the color wheels, it has all the individual masking, so you don't actually have to export to Motion or anything like that if you want to do it. Then it's the integrations with all the Adobe Audition software. Like when I go to edit this podcast, for example, when we do the video, I'll be able to do all the cuts in Premiere, then export all into Audition, do all the audio stuff there, back into Premiere, do the color grade, and then we're done. Whereas with Final Cut, that would be a bit more difficult because there's no actual dedicated audio engineering tools. So it's sort of like, you'd wonder. Now, no diss against Final Cut. It has its use case. People like it. But if you're on jobs where lots of people need to collaborate, no one's using Final Cut. I'm sorry. It's just not what the industry is going with.
Well, yeah. For what I use it, it's fine. So
yeah.
I probably won't release. I'd probably maybe try and learn it for Adobe, but I won't probably use it.
And that's okay. You can absolutely get by with not having Adobe for like just basic editing, basic jobs, YouTube videos, that kind of thing. Final Cut aces that. But if you're doing more nitty gritty things where you need to be able to like separate out the timeline, you need to be able to add blank spaces, you need to be able to drag and drop specific cuts down to the time head, Premiere's a little bit better for that. But this did have me considering iPads again, because an M1 iPad used here or refurbished or like new is only like €600 in Ireland, for context. So it makes you wonder.
Oh, it is. Yeah. Got that. Sorry.
Why wouldn't I get like an 11 inch with like 256 gigs of storage or 128, get an Apple Pencil, get a Magic Keyboard.
Yeah.
And just convert my entire business onto that. But then you have the whole, do you want to pay €50 a year for the cost of business? And for some people, yeah, that's the cost of business. But for me, no, thank you.
Well, maybe eventually when you start making a little bit of money, you would just throw it out, because €50 compared to what you're making may eventually would be nothing.
And for the record, that is cheaper than the Adobe suite. Like, you pay €60 a month for the privilege of having Premiere Pro.
I thought Premiere Pro had a €25 a
month. No, that's the photography bundle.
But, I saw Premiere Pro for 20, like just Premiere. For maybe it's a basic version of it or something.
That's Premiere Rush, but that's totally different. That's like the equivalent of iMovie on an iPad.
Basic version.
You can drag clips in and that's it. You're lucky you can export it.
I know Photoshop is on the iPad. Mm. I know Rush is on it. It's Rush. Yeah, I think Rush is on iOS and iPad. Yeah. And I know, did they put Premiere on the iPad?
No.
I can't remember.
And the Photoshop on the iPad is absolute rubbish. I would not trust anything in Photoshop on the iPad. It was promised to be fantastic, but it just could not justify it. You know,
Adobe just give up on it, or is it just they made it crap purposely? Or
They rushed it and never really gave it the feature set that was essential for it to work. Like, it can't do basic things that the desktop one can't do. Like, it can't do like more than 4 layers and that kind of thing.
Really?
Oh. Yeah. So I'm actually better off using Pixelmator or something like that if I want to.
Yeah, I have, what's it called? Oh, I have it here. I have Affinity.
That's good.
Because I bought that as a one-time purchase for €20 because I think it was originally 50, but they were having a sale at the time and I got it for 20. So.
I suppose it just makes you wonder, what are they doing at WWDC? Because they are after getting rid of a huge announcement that they could have had on stage for iPadOS.
Now we're kind of going, that's what I was going to say. We're kind of going away from.
We don't talk about the transition, Stefano. We just do them. We don't talk about them.
Maybe the headset really is coming. Because why would you get rid? First of all, well, Final Cut, you probably like you could kind. I guess you no Final the, Cut. There's a lot to explain with it. Like they could have taken up a good, probably even an hour with that.
Because the user interface,
Watched the video, I've just seen the screenshots.
Yeah, the screenshots, that's what I was going to say. I wasn't able to get the word out of my head. If you've seen the screenshots, it's a different user interface. It's actually better than a lot of other user interfaces. But it makes you wonder, what is going on? Like, if they were able to get rid of an announcement this big and logic. Because they could have easily brought on people like, I don't know, indie music makers, or even someone like Ed Sheeran, who just launched an album that could have been like, oh, plot twist, this was mixed on the iPad.
Yeah, you know? And video editors could have been people like YouTube, like maybe Casey Neistat, or
there was space there. for it.
Maybe they got some big Hollywood movie somehow edited on the iPad kind of thing.
But you see where this could have gone.
Most likely use Premiere.
You know? Yeah, but you see where this could have gone.
Or something they use.
Yeah, because it makes me wonder if they could have taken up a good chunk of the keynote with that. A 15-inch MacBook Air with M2, that's not going to take up too long. They'll get up 15 minutes with that. But I'm anticipating that will have an M2 Pro chip. And if that has an M2 Pro, that'll be the best-selling laptop of the year.
Oh, yeah. It makes the headset way more likely to be coming out now, though, because that's something they could probably spend a couple of hours on. And even Final Cut could have been like an hour or so. Like, people probably compare it to like, oh, like, why didn't they do that with the keyboard for the iPad? Like, not the way they did it with the keyboard. But the keyboard is not really as thorough as Final Cut would be. It's basically just, here's a trackpad, there's the gestures.
You have to use the Magic Keyboard or the Apple Pencil or an Apple Pencil at minimum to make this work.
Yes, I've been considering buying a Magic Keyboard for the last while because I still want to use Luma Fusion, and that's not even going to be possible without the keyboard, to be honest.
Yeah, so what I was thinking for the headset is, just get us back on track because we don't want to be here all night or me editing all week. And the headset is going to be interesting because we haven't done a podcast since the recap of last year's WWDC.
I thought it was before that.
It was the podcast just before WWDC that we stopped. Anyways, the headset we've been rumored to get since 2018 when John Prosser originally leaked Apple Glass in the project.
Damn, it was that far back.
I don't know what to think about the headset. Like, if it's going to be $3,000, that's the price. First of all, before we continue, Apple launches it tomorrow. €3,000 starting price. It can do everything the rumors said it can do. You know, be a virtual monitor for your laptop, be a screen for your phone, be a larger screen for your watch, you know, have all the Find My connectivity, gaming and AR and VR tech. Do you buy it?
Probably would want it, but I don't have the money for it right now.
Yeah, but in the hypothetical situation, you have €3,000 to burn. Would you buy it?
Dollars, so that's probably going to be even more expensive in euros.
Yeah, but like, we're
considering
playing
that's
devil's
probably
going to
be closer
here.
To $4,000 here.
Do you buy it though? That's the question.
I probably would, because I'd like to try it at least. Like, I would at least like to try it, so I probably would.
You see, it's a lot like AirPods Max for me. They're so nice to wear, and they're a really luxurious piece of headphones. Like, it would be the same thing as the headset. It would be a more luxurious version of the MetaQuest Pro. That's exactly what it is.
My sister is one of those, materials, but not the Pro. I think she's the MetaQuest 2, not the Pro.
The MetaQuest 2 is more accurate to the size we're anticipating of this yoke. But
That's just the one thing, is that if it's supposed to be an extension to all your other screens, it can't be that big. Because you're not going to be able to, all the times you're going to be using your phone or your watch, you're not going to be wearing that in public.
The thing is, this is meant for, I've been saying this since we originally heard the rumors, and I've gotten a chance to check out the HoloLens when that was big. I got a chance to check out the Vive. I've got a chance to check out all the major AR headsets now because they've had them shown off at a college, or I've gotten access to them for projects or whatever. They are developer tools. This is just a step in the development for, are you aware of the Roken Air 2s? The smart glasses, the AR glasses that you plug into the USB-C port.
Did Sam put them on his channel?
Yes, those ones, the AR ones, yeah. The headset is just a stepping point for that, Apple's equivalent to that. We're not supposed to wear this out and about. This is more so like, you are at your desk, you are going to do work.
That's what I was
going to
say.
Or
like,
going
you
on
wouldn't
flights
be wearing it
or
outside.
Whatever.
It sounds a lot more like you're just going to be at your computer and it's going to be extra screens. Then it's just handy that your phone can pop up on or your watch, because obviously you're going to have them with you while you're doing that stuff.
I wouldn't mind wearing, like, the thing is, it's going to have battery powered wristbands. Like, the wristbands are going to be strapped to your hands. Like,
wait, what,
it's going to
be.
By,
I haven't looked into too much of the rumors of this lately. So
the rumors is, the way they're going to cut down on the weight of the headset is there's going to be wristbands that you strap onto your wrists, and the batteries are going to be there.
Wait, so what? They're going to be connected to a wire or something?
A wire. That's the only way. A wire connected to your head or something.
That makes no sense. You're going to see people breaking wires all the time.
Yep.
Like, that's not going to... Mm-hmm. That is not intuitive at all.
But that's what the rumor is suggesting, and no one's come out and disputed that.
Okay, so it's definitely then at least maybe development within Apple specifically.
Yeah, it's not. I have a theory, and everyone's going to disagree with me on this. What if this headset is just a developer unit and the real headset comes next year?
I would agree with that, but why would they show a developer headset at? This is
so
WWDC,
they are going. Yeah, so what they're going to do is they're going to launch.
Customers watch it as well.
They're going to launch the technology. They're going to talk about the technology, similar how they did the M1. You know, this is what we're doing. This is our chips behind it. This is like the tech behind it. And as a developer, you can apply to get one of these headsets for $700 or like $3,000. You can apply to get one of these $3,000 headsets, and good luck if you get it. You cannot open it or do anything like that with it. But then you'll have people looking to get it. But yeah. Because $3,000 is a business expense. That's not a consumer expense.
Yeah, you wouldn't. And even if it was consumer, because Apple's well known for making extremely expensive consumer products, it's still like, it's a rich consumer kind of product. It's kind of like something for a toy for the rich kind of thing.
Any wild cards for the event?
Not really. Just been a lot of interesting iOS leaks in the last couple of days. You know, that journaling app and stuff like that.
Yeah, that just seems more like a setting you can enable in Notes. Or like a change to Notes that hasn't really gotten out, that's a change to Notes specifically, you know.
That's what I was wondering. Like, is this a change to Notes? When I was watching videos, like, is this just a little thing for Notes? And then now they're saying it's a whole separate app.
I wouldn't put it past them, but it's very.
Because apparently it's supposed to be all AI based and all that, and helping you with, you know, mental health and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. You know. It's supposed to be doing all that. So
I wouldn't put it past it, but I'd put it more so as like a setting in the Notes app or a new tab in the Notes app. It's not going to be a separate app, but it will be a setting in Notes or something.
Yeah.
That makes more sense.
The 15-inch MacBook Air would be interesting though, because my mother she's showing interest in getting a new computer. She's not looking to get it right now.
Not looking to offload
a few months down the line.
Not looking to offload your old 27-inch iMac on her, no?
She already has an iMac.
Oh, fair enough, yeah.
So she needs a laptop as well. She wants to start her own business. She has a business idea she wants to do. And we have a little lodge built out the back, but it's not finished yet. So that has to be finished first. And then the iMac will be moved from the house into the lodge, and that's going to be her. It was bought for her, but for the last few years, it's been used as the family computer.
Makes sense. Yeah. That's what
she also needs a laptop.
Yeah.
Because her current laptop, it's an Acer from like 2010 or something. And it just keeps the time just keeps messing up.
Well,
and then the thing just doesn't hold the charge. You have to keep it plugged in and stuff. So she's just better off getting a new laptop. Yeah.
Does that surprise you though that it's from 2010 and it's doing that?
No. But it's been doing that for the last like 5 years, so it didn't last very long. And it's Acer, so.
I mean, to be fair, a laptop with Windows a Windows laptop should be able to last well over 10 years if you put a new battery in it, if you put an SSD in it, if you put more RAM in it. And those laptops had socketed chips. They didn't actually have soldered on chips.
I'd say it's just the brand, because apparently, well, from what I've heard, people's opinion on Acer as a company is that they make bad products in terms of durability and how long they last and stuff. So
their more recent stuff has been okay, but their earlier stuff, I haven't seen an Acer laptop from that time period anywhere. And I'm in places where I still see like Dell laptops from 2007.
Oh. Yeah, my dad still has a Toshiba.
Like,
my dad has a Toshiba that's like from somewhere from somewhere from early to mid 2010s. And it's still going. It has dead pixels on the screen and there's a missing key on it, but it's still going and it's running Windows 7 Pro or something.
Yeah, but like I still have a Dell 17-inch big monster of a laptop, the metal ones.
Oh, I know what you're talking about, because I think one of our employees has that same one and I used it for a while. It's
The keyboard is brilliant on us, and that's the only reason I keep it around. But no, give it an SSD, give it a bit of extra RAM, and it's fine. It's not going to be great, but it's more of a desktop.
The laptop my brother has, our employee, he just gave it to us for free, because he was like getting rid of it because he didn't need it or whatever.
It's e-waste.
He gave it to us and just put an SSD in it, and it needs a new battery, I think, because he has to keep it plugged in, but works just
a laptop that big is pretty runs much Windows a desktop 10, I think. A laptop that big, you're running it as a desktop. It is
It's another one. This guy has a lot of laptops. Yeah. It's not that one.
That's fair enough. Yeah.
it's another one, but that he uses. It's like a 14, 15 inch one or something. But he doesn't need it for anything but at home anyways. He doesn't use his computer anywhere else anyways. So
that's fair enough.
And at home he has his PC. So that's just for when he needs to get out of the PC with all the games and stuff on it.
It's actually quite interesting. I've been using a Windows laptop now for a while. I haven't missed a Mac. No, not at all.
But you want the iPad again.
Well, that's purely because there's a theory there that you can
logic and all that. It just want to check it out. I know.
Well, you see, the thing is, last time I had an iPad, it disappointed me. Because iPadOS. And I know for a fact that an iPad cannot do the same thing as a desktop program. This Final Cut will be severely, severely downscaled. It's not going to be anything close to the real deal. You won't be able to do plugins. You won't be able to do anything like that. This will be LumaFusion on crack. Because did you see the screenshots? It looks exactly like LumaFusion.
Well, I'm not surprised. They're probably going to buy LumaFusion and take it off the fucking App Store.
Yep.
Excuse my language.
if Genius Bar can stay online after their language, I'm fairly sure we'll be okay.
But just thinking about it, the Mac is still going to be the best editing machine for probably a good few while. They should have done this years ago.
When they launched the M1 iPad, it should have been launched. I'm saying
2021. Like, we're 2 years after. And this has been, these rumors have been ongoing for the last 2 years. Obviously, they've been working on it.
3 years, John Prosser. 3 years ago, John Prosser said, Final Cut, Xcode, and Logic will be coming to the iPad in the next year or so. 3 years later, technically not wrong, and technically on time.
Yeah. It's just, they've obviously been working on it since they launched it. But it's funny because actually one thing we didn't mention at the start, Final Cut's limited to M1, but Logic is on the 12 series, A12
what?
Series chips. Yeah. If you go to the newsroom post and scroll down to the...
I saw that, yeah. Oh, wow. It's okay.
Logic. So I think I can get Logic on my iPad, so I can try recording this podcast on the iPad when it comes out.
And that'll be another episode that never gets out. Yeah. But Yeah, it'll be interesting to see this thing go, because you know people with Final Cut putting red footage into that. I want to see someone get out a red camera, film something, and edit it off an iPad. And that'll be the test.
The other issue is that to make to even have as like any somewhat functional, you're going to need minimum 1 terabyte.
Yeah.
Preferably 2 terabytes. And I specced out a 12.9. You're going to want the 12.9 inch as well. You're going to want the big screen for the edit.
Oh, yeah.
So I specced out 12.9 inch.
This is why they're going to announce a 16-inch iPad. It's going to happen. So this
12.9 inch with 2 terabytes of storage and cellular, because if you are going to be going out places, you're going to need the internet. I know you can just hotspot to your phone, but it's better just to have it directly on the iPad.
Yeah, fair enough.
I spec'd that out earlier today on the Lewis when I was on my way into Dublin. Yeah, 3,000. No, it's like 3,030 euro. And I'm like, God, but mine cost me 1,800. And it was the highest tier at the time.
But if you think about it, this thing is going to be bought up by news stations. It's going to be bought up by radio shows, things like that. It is going to be bought up to the point where it can replace mobile editing rigs, because LumaFusion has already done that. But it's just a case of, yeah, now Apple's doing it, so I guess it's going to be better, right?
I'm just wondering, will the Mac stay a one-time purchase, and what will happen to the users that did buy it?
You're just not going to get updates anymore, and you'll have to switch to the subscription-based version if you want.
I don't mind
anything.
Not getting updates. If it can still do what it did before, I'll be fine until I actually need them. Then when I need them, I'll just do it. It's fine for now. I don't need.
What's going to happen to that is, you're going to be stuck with the version of Final Cut that has nothing in it. And then the people who paid the monthly subscription will get all the new fancy AR features. They'll get all the fancy VR features, because you can edit VR apparently. You can also, you know, get all the AI features like the scripts and the text
I wouldn't
editing
be using that kind of thing anyway.
AI multicam and all that crack. They'll do something like that. You know they will.
Yeah. It is. I'm now starting. Now I'm really looking forward to WWDC to see if they will even talk about, because maybe they could have just told us about it, so then we knew it existed, and then they could talk about it on stage, like in more depth.
Yeah.
They it's just because be they funny. Launched it through a press release doesn't mean they won't talk about it in WWDC. Because
this
is
very true.
People are still going to want to see like how it performs on the iPad and stuff. The ads are literally just
it'll have launched
they're
by
not
then.
Like real.
It'll have launched things. By then, 2 weeks from now. So I guess this is season 6 of TechCast, and you'll never guess what. That's the episode finished. You're welcome.
Yeah, I was like, we're coming up in half an hour, we're going over.
No, we've done well. And I hope you've enjoyed this episode. If you've enjoyed the episode, be sure to leave us a rating on Apple Podcasts or wherever your podcast player of choice is. And leave us a comment on Twitter at TechCast_pod. Of course, mine and Stefano's Twitters will be linked down below. And with that, Stefano, you're wrong about 5G. And we'll catch you in the next one. Bye.
Bye.